We wish you a reggae Christmas. We wish you a reggae Christmas. We wish you a reggae Christmas and a reggae New Year. We wish you a reggae Christmas. We wish you a reggae Christmas. We wish you.
Might be one of the greatest Christmas songs of all time. All right, we are back. Hockey Central at noon, just around the corner. Followed by Tim and Sid, and then Bob McCowan, Primetime Sports, 4 to 7, with a traditional slash special Christmas presentation of that show. Basically, Bob is a bunch of people call up and wishes them a Merry Christmas and talks to them about what they're doing through Christmas season. It's actually, it's a lot of fun. It's a it's very cool. It's one of my favorite moments of the 24th, because it's just, you know, just leading up to the point where people kind of shut stuff down, right, and get ready and spend some time with their families. So again, don't forget that today from 4 to 7, Bob McCowan's Primetime Christmas. McCowan always comes in dressed up in a Santa Claus outfit and spreads good cheer and gives gifts to people all the time. He doesn't? Oh. Anyhow.
You don't poke the bear.
Where did that come from? That's a blast from the past. So remember when the Edmonton Oilers were going to solve everything by firing Dallas Eakins? And remember how a new coach was going to turn things around? Well, the Oilers played last night. Sam Gagner had a terrific game. I mean, one of the best games of his career. Sam Gagner had 4 points. And the only problem, of course, was that those 4 points are now with the Arizona Coyotes. Sam Gagner, a member of the Arizona Coyotes, not the Edmonton Oilers anymore. Coyotes rolled to a 5-1 win over the Edmonton Oilers last night. It's one of the many things we want to talk about with our next guest, Renaud Lavoie, one of our regular insiders from TVA Sports. Renaud Lavoie joining the Jeff Blair Show. Monsieur Lavoie, thank you so much for doing this.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Jeff, to talk to you. You know it.
So tell me, what are the Oilers? I mean, the Oilers seem to be doing everything but the necessary stuff, don't they? I mean, they've got to make a deal here. They just have to make a deal. This core isn't good enough. It seems so obvious. What's taking them so long?
Well, I have a question for you, though. If you know that you're struggling like that, and obviously, let's say you're the owner of the team, do you want your GM to do trades? Or you're saying to yourself, you know what? Don't do trades, because I'm not convinced. I'm not 100% sure right now that you're coming back after this season. So let's say you trade a Taylor Hall, and you trade Taylor Hall, and in a year or two, we're saying to ourselves, what a mistake that was to trade that guy. So I think you need to have new people in place before making huge changes. The problem right now, Jeff, is it's not who's there. It's the culture of that organization. And that's why I don't want to point fingers to a Greg McTavish or Dallas Eakins when he was there, or whoever, because you know what? It starts with the way that franchise is built. And not on the ice, not the way it's built at the draft. The way that franchise thinks, it's not accurate for 2014 and now coming to 2015. So until the day, sadly, you say to a guy like Kevin Lowe, and I love Kevin Lowe. It's a great guy. You met Kevin Lowe in your life. You don't want nothing bad to happen to Kevin Lowe. It's impossible. But you just say to yourself, sorry, my friend, but we need to make a huge change. We need to change the culture of this organization. And, Jeff, I know people are like, what does he mean by culture? Jeff, when there's a culture problem in your organization, it's a huge issue and it's costly. That's what happened in Montreal at a certain point. And you look at what Jeff Molson did. He did the right. He was able to recognize that there was a huge problem in his organization, and it was a culture one. The fact that the GM was thinking a certain way, he was not a fan favorite with the obviously people who are buying tickets. It was a struggle inside the dressing room because of the way the management was. And I'm not saying Pierre Gauthier was a bad GM. I'm just saying that the way he was around the team was not the right way for that franchise. Maybe it's working elsewhere, and maybe it's going to work elsewhere. But for Montreal, it didn't work. So if it's not working, fix it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's in front of you. It's in front of you. Don't blame the players, please. Don't blame the players. Come on. That's easy. I know they're not winning, but I think there's a problem there. Mentally, they're not sharp. They're not prepared to play. I'm not sure they want to play. So when you look at it, and there's skills in that dressing room, mm-hmm. when you look at it, you need to say to yourself, let's make a change. Let's make a huge change, and don't panic. It's not the time to panic. Don't trade a Taylor Hall. Don't trade those players. If you need to trade those guys, ask somebody to come, somebody new, with a new mentality, a new way to see things, a new way to do things, and that person will make his own decision. But I think it will be costly for that franchise right now to trade players like that. I remember Pierre Gauthier, he traded André Costitin. Nobody was crying.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Nobody was scared to see André Costitin go. There was no way. But he didn't trade P.K. Subban. He wasn't allowed to trade P.K. Subban.
That's right.
So you don't do that. You just don't trade skilled players just for the sake of trading skilled players when your franchise is struggling like that. Keep talent. It's really important.
Well, and Renaud, I guess the other way to look at it too is if you were the Edmonton Oilers and you were making a move right now, you're going to have general managers coming at you thinking that you're making a deal out of desperation. And when you're moving yeah. key players like that, maybe you have to do it in the off season. Maybe that's the only time you can get added value right. for them, as opposed to doing it in season.
I think you're totally right, and it's a right point. I mean, let's say the Oilers trade Taylor Hall. What are they going to get? They're going to get a first rounder. They're going to get a young young skill player, and maybe a player who's in the AHL or wherever, who was drafted a year or two ago, who's not signed yet. I mean, there's more value to a guy like Taylor Hall. So don't, like you said, take your time. Take your time. Let's see what's going to happen at the draft. Let's see if there's some moves to be made. Remember, the cap is not going high. They're saying the cap is going to $73 million. Yes, that's what the league wants. Mm-hmm. That's what the league is saying. Do you really think the players are going to accept another 14% escrow? No, I'm telling you, there's no way. There'll be another 14% escrow next season for the players. So what does it mean? It means the cap's going to go higher than the players are going to say, we're going to 69 to maybe 72, maybe 71, but not 73. There's no chance. I don't see it. If they want to pay 20% escrow, good for them. But I know they're tired of paying 14% escrow year after year. So it's not going to be as high as people think, and as high as people are saying in the league. So let's put the cap at $71 million or $72, and you'll see there'll be a lot of franchise who are going to struggle hard, and they're going to try to make huge moves to make sure that they'll be able to survive next season because the cap won't go as high as they thought. So that's the way I see it. Take your time. Don't panic. If you need to have a new president, a new GM, there's a lot of skilled people around in that business who can help right now. Take your time, ask those people to make those decisions. But there's no way if I'm the owner of the Oilers, I let anybody trade high-skilled players in that franchise. No way. Can't do it.
Renaud Lavoie of TVS Sports in conversation with the Jeff Blair Show. If we look at the Atlantic Division, Renaud, at Christmas, Montreal, Tampa Bay, yeah, there at the top. Montreal's a game in hand. Detroit second. Toronto with 43 points. Boston at 39. If you look at this division and this conference, which team has been the biggest disappointment and the biggest surprise to you as we approach Christmas?
Biggest surprise for me is Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest with you, I can't believe it. I mean, you have a coach who's sitting there right now. There was some rumors 2 weeks ago that he was close to sign a deal with the organization. And it didn't happen. But, you know, when you have a coach like that, you don't know if he's going to stay. Is he going to leave? Is he going to be fired during the season if we're struggling? Whatever. There's a lot of scenarios in front of you right now concerning Mike Babcock. And I was surprised that that team was able to perform at that level, even if there's a lot of question marks concerning regarding the coach. That's my biggest surprise, and I'm impressed by the Detroit Red Wings again. You know what? Disappointment, I don't know if I have a big one. To be honest, Jeff, it's kind of
gone the way we thought it would, the conference itself, hasn't it? Maybe Boston, but I think we looked at Boston and thought there were some issues there.
Yeah, there is. There is. And first of all, it's a team that they're you need talent. You need talent, and you need talent. And I know they're looking for a winger right now, or is it going to be a left winger? I don't care. But they need a guy that's going to play on the second and third line, and he needs to help that franchise for sure. We're not going to go back and say Tyler Seguin is a good fit for that franchise. It's over. It's gone. They turned the page. But I look at a guy like you know, there's some skilled players around. I'm not convinced that you need to go see what's in Buffalo and mm-hmm. try to make a trade with Buffalo. But I look hard as a guy like David Perron.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what they want. They want a second-line centerman. It's okay. But let's be creative here. David Perron could really help that franchise right now. He can play, and he's playing in a way right now, the Boston Bruins style, in-your-face hockey, skilled guy, not scared of anything. That's the type of player, if I'm Boston, that I'll make sure to make a hard push for him. But, you know, if you want to dance, you need a partner.
Mm-hmm.
So, but let's be honest. David Perron is no Taylor Hall.
Right.
Okay. But he's highly skilled, and he can do a lot of things on the ice. I love that, a guy like him. If Boston is able to go and pick a guy like David Perron, good for them. It's going to turn things around quickly because that's what they need. They need skills. And you cannot ask players like Patrice Bergeron to be your number one centerman night after night and trying to put points night after night. I'm not saying that he's not capable of doing that. Yes, he is, but it's a lot of pressure right now. I think when you look at it, on four or five players up front, that's too much pressure. And at the same time, they need to be faster.
Mm-hmm.
They're not as fast as they were a couple of years ago. They need skills, and they need a good skating. And in the backhand, you have a guy like Zdeno Chara. I love Zdeno Chara, a great guy. But don't play him 25 minutes. You need to make sure that he's going to play around 20 minutes because he's not the fastest guy on the ice right now.
You know, Renaud, Jonathan Bernier last night, 43 saves.
Oh.
I mean, he's had his year's been up and down as much as the Leafs' year has been up and down, although I'd argue it's been, in his case, much more up than down.
Yeah.
What's the market going to be like for him in the offseason? Because he is an RFA. And what do you think the Leafs should be doing here with Jonathan Bernier?
That's a great question. There's no way. There's no way they're going to trade him.
Mm-hmm.
You need to build around a player, a goaltender like that. Jonathan, you think he's good right now. It's not the end of it. I'm telling you, he's going to be a better goaltender that he is. I know last night he was really good, but you know what? It's not the end of the tunnel for him.
Mm-hmm.
He still can, and I'm not going to use the word prepare better because he's preparing himself the right way for games. But you look at a guy like Carey Price. It's amazing to see Carey Price play, to be honest with you, Jeff. I was at the game between the benches Saturday. He stopped 24 pucks, okay? But he let one goal in, and it was a bad one, a fluke. And he was upset at himself, so he stopped everything. But it looked so easy. It was unbelievable. We give him the first star. You know what? Because, first of all, he bounced back after a bad goal. And after that, there was no way, no rebounds around. He was making sure that all the pucks that were coming at him will be close to him, and there will be no second scoring chances on a shot. And I see Jonathan one day playing like that. I see him being more, I'll use the words, less active in front of his net.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little bit smaller, obviously, but doesn't matter. He's got his own style. But the day it's going to be, and it's coming, it's going there. The day the game will be easy for a guy like Jonathan Bernier, it's going to be impressive. And it's coming. I see it. He's one of the best goaltender, I think, in the league right now, because he doesn't have the best team in front of him. It's a team that can score a lot of goals. There's no doubt about that. Defensively, there's some issues. And I watched his clip after the game last night. He wasn't smiling. He wasn't like, and he should have maybe be a little bit more happier. But you know what? He wasn't, because he's a team guy. He's a leader. And he doesn't think, I'm pretty sure, and didn't talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
But giving, that was too many shots that was given. And that's not the way I think the Leafs wants to play, to go in the playoffs. You cannot allow and think that your goaltender is going to save every puck night after night. It's impossible. But Jonathan is, I think, right now getting a lot of good experience. And the day it's going to be on another level, it'll be really, really, really dangerous. So he's going to make his $5 or $6 million per season, Jeff. I don't know what you see, but I see a guy making $5 to $6 million per season starting next year. That's what I think. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I think he's really, you know, again, we'll wait and see what the second half or what the rest of the season shows, but he's the closest thing I think this city's had to a number one goaltender. Wow. In a long time.
In a long time. And you know what? He's young. He's not a 35 or 32 or 30-year-old goaltender. He's in the middle of his 20s. It's his second full year as a number one goaltender. He's learning a lot. He's working hard. That guy is just amazing. And talking to a few players, I was there like 2 weeks ago, two mm-hmm. weekends ago, and there was guys in the dressing room who were telling me, you know what, Renaud, what's more impressive, he doesn't mind to speak in the dressing room and, you know, and say stuff to his teammates that maybe they don't want to hear, or promise some stuff like, guys, score a goal and we're going to win that game tonight. You know, that type of Patrick Roy attitude
mm-hmm.
that you've heard before
mm-hmm.
when he was playing in Montreal or with Colorado. But, well, you know what? Jonathan is a little bit like that. He likes to be a leader. He likes to win. He wants to win. He wants to make sure the Leafs is going to be a better team. So, and he's pushing his teammates like he's pushing himself. And I like that. I like to hear that. And it's perfect. And I think one day we're going to say something like, this is Jonathan Bernier's team. Like right now in Montreal, it's Carey Price's team. There's no doubt. He's the captain of that team. Even today, nothing changed. The real captain of that team is obviously Carey Price. in Toronto, there's a good chance we're going to speak exactly the same way one day. We're going to say maybe in a year or two, this is his team. Because he's going to have success, and he's having success right now. But I'm telling you, if they tweak a little bit of things defensively, that could be, Jeff, I'm telling you, I don't think the Maple Leafs are going to go down the drain in the second half. I know everybody's scared about that, but I don't see it. I see a team that's going to perform night after night. They need to play a little better defensively. But you know what? I'm not scared for the Maple Leafs at all.
Reno, it was great to talk to you today. Have a great Christmas, a great holiday. Joyeux Noël, bonne année. And we'll talk to you around the 31st.
Yeah, thank you very much, and all the best to you, too.
Take care. That is Reno Lavoie, our NHL insider with TVA Sports. And lots to talk about. Interesting thoughts from Reno Lavoie about Jonathan Bernier. I think he's a fan. He's been talking up Jonathan Bernier for a while. And it's interesting hearing a Patrick Waugh comparison. I just think, you know, we've talked about this in the show an awful lot, and you know that Glenn Healy, who we talked every Monday, he's got the same opinion of Jonathan Bernier. That, you know, he hasn't drawn a comparison to Patrick Waugh, but he's for most of the year and last year as well, saying, look, this guy's got to be your number one guy. You know, he understands sort of the affinity people have for James Reimer, but Jonathan Bernier's got to be your number one guy. And it's interesting to hear Reno Lavoie, who knows Jonathan Bernier pretty well, put him in the same sentence as Patrick Waugh. We appreciate Reno joining us. Do we have Mr. Wilner on the line? Why are you telling me to wait a second? It's never easy with Wilner. He always has to chat. Do we have him? Mr. Wilner, how are you, sir?
Hello, Mr. Blair.
You were talking to Mr. Boffo. Isn't that a great name, by the way?
You got to stop giving your producers crap about when they put me on the air.
Well, but you do. You know what? It's never... Here's what happens. Here's what happens. About a minute before a guest comes on, I get the lovely voice of Travis McKenzie in my ear, or in this case, Mark Boffo, and they say, Mike Wilner's on the line, or Mark Osborne's on the line. I never get Mike Wilner's on the line. I always, you know, say goodbye to the previous guest, and then what do I get? I look in the booth, and either Travis or Mark, they're talking to somebody, and then I get the number one finger put up, like, hold on a second. See what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying. That wasn't what happened here. I mean, Boffo called me like 15 seconds before he put me on the air. But what you have to remember, Blair, is that pretty much every single one of the producers at The Fan has been a Blue Jays Talk producer at some point or another over the course of their career.
And they've managed to overcome that and move on to greater things.
Or they've been molded beautifully and wonderfully and moved on to greater things. So, you know, it's not like...
So what do you guys do? You reminisce about that night. Let me see. So you call up Mark Boff and say, Boff, do you remember that night, May 24th, 2009, where we had Joe from Muskoka call up? And is that what you do? Like, what would you reminisce about with a former producer of the Blue Jays Talk? Put me in that conversation.
It's not about reminiscences at all. It's just that we know each other. We have a relationship, and therefore, since they all love me dearly,
well, that's not true.
They know what to talk about.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. I admit you've opened my eyes a bit now. Now I will not scold Travis or whomever for talking to you for 4.5 minutes instead of putting you through. I won't do it anymore.
It's the opposite of the Tim and Sid experience, I have to tell you.
What is the Tim and Sid experience?
Well, the Tim and Sid experience is that the producer, the lovely and talented Jeff Azzopardi, will call you and put you through, and you're ready to go and online, and Tim and Sid still have like 6 or 7 minutes of stuff to talk about.
All right. Well.
There's a yin and a yang.
There is indeed. And unfortunately, you're more yang than yin. That's not true.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either. I was just thinking of it because I was shuffling papers around. We are joined by Mike Wilner, who, of course, is host of the Blue Jays Talk. And we call him third man in the booth. Oh, I don't know. Third man in the booth always makes it sound like he should be going to the penalty box. It's third man in the fight. You know, third man in and all that good stuff. Yeah, yeah. So, Jason Grilley's off the board.
Yep.
Did Jays have any interest in him? I mean, his name was out there, you know, earlier as kind of, oh, yeah, there's this group of guys. He may be one of them. Do you think, did the Jays have any interest in him?
I don't know. Not as much as they did a couple of years ago. They came very close to signing him at the end of the winter meetings in Nashville. I think it was two winters ago.
And that's before he went to Pittsburgh, right?
Right, before he went to Pittsburgh. But he was not nearly as good in Pittsburgh as he had been the couple of years before when, you know, when the Blue Jays' interest was so high. So I doubt it. You know, Alex Anthopoulos told us that he's looking more at the trade market now than the free agent market. But you look at Grilley's 11 and 12, and how good he was. And then 13, he was terrific too. But last year, he took a rather a large step back. So I don't know that the Blue Jays were getting into that conversation.
And you're right. Alex has said that he expects to have to trade to address the bullpen issues. At this stage, what do you see Alex doing here? Does he need to add two arms? Or is it enough to add one arm right now? And what I mean by that is adding one arm that's, you know, an obvious arm to close and then maybe filling in elsewhere.
I think the answer to that is it depends on what they do with Aaron Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you find a fifth starter somewhere, and not Marco Estrada or anything like that, but if you go out on the market and find someone that you're comfortable with in the rotation, then you can move Sanchez to the bullpen for a year, make him either your closer or your setup man, and then you only need to go get one relief arm. But mm-hmm. if you want Sanchez in the rotation, I really do think they need two.
What's your sense that the Jays are saying they want Sanchez in the rotation? Although, yeah, you know, it's interesting when you talk to people, you get the sense that there are some people in the organization, including the manager, Frank. I mean, John Gibbons has said a couple of times, you know, yeah, Aaron Sanchez, he's got to start. Wouldn't you like to see that? You know, wouldn't you like to see that over seven innings? But then he'll also tell you, you know, Aaron Sanchez, the back end of the bullpen looks pretty good to me. I mean, there are people in that organization who wouldn't mind seeing him be in the bullpen for a year, to be honest.
Yeah, I think they're probably their voices are probably being heard a lot louder now that mm-hmm. the winter has progressed the way it has, and all the, you know, a lot of the good relief arms are off the market, and they're getting a sense of what the price would be to acquire one of those Royals relievers or Tyler Clippard or all those other people who are mentioned in trade rumors, that maybe the better fit is Sanchez for a year. It's definitely easier to pick up a fifth starter than it is to pick up a closer. So the longer it goes, the more I think, yeah, they're probably going to have Sanchez in the pen. I don't think I asked Alex, I can't remember when, one of the many news conferences he's done over the last couple of months, if there was a scenario in which Daniel Norris made his case in spring training and wound up in the rotation and Sanchez in the bullpen, and Alex wasn't totally opposed to that. I don't think that is terribly likely, at least out of spring. And I don't think Marco Estrada is likely in the rotation out of spring. I think they go outside and bring somebody in. But it's a possibility.
There's a report out there that the Jays have started to talk seriously to Takashi Toratani, and I don't know how serious it is when it's Scott Boras, because I think there's something there between the Jays and Boras. I think that's obvious. Where do you see this going? And is he a guy who interests you?
I don't know. I've never seen him. I've heard that he's a better Munenori Kawasaki. So what does that mean? I don't know. Kawasaki's a fringe big league starter at best.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this guy's a legit big league starter who can help them out for a little while until Devin Travis is ready. If that's the case, then why not? But I don't see the 3 year thing happening like they were talking about, especially since he's already closing in on his mid-30s. I can see them giving him a 1 year and an option, or maybe two. But Scott Boras obviously wants to build a market for him, and he's definitely using the Blue Jays, and he's hasn't been shy about calling them out. So it's like you said, it's a weird relationship there. But I don't think he's someone that they're not interested in, but I don't think that he's someone that they're looking at as a long-term solution either. For me, I still kind of like Nick Punto. You know, he's going through release waivers right now. In my mind, he's a perfect stopgap for the Blue Jays at second base. Play for 3 months, and you know, he's a better defender than Meiser Astur is, and he's a better hitter than Ryan Goins, and. If he's interested in coming here, and obviously he'll be a free agent, and he'll have his pick, and a lot of teams are going to be interested in him at the minimum, then he's a great stopgap. I just don't know if he wants to come here and how much the Blue Jays are interested.
Mike, it's always good to talk to you. Thank you for doing this today. Best of the holiday season. And let's see if Alex Anthopoulos has any gifts for us the next couple of days or the next week or so.
I wouldn't bet on the next couple of days, but you never know before the new year, that's for sure.
Well, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was Christmas or Boxing Day where J.P. Ricciardi signed Lyle Overbay. Wasn't it Overbay?
The Gloss deal was on Boxing
Gloss
Day.
Gloss Day, that's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Mr. Wilner, thanks a lot for doing this.
All right, Jeffrey.
Take care. Mike Wilner, host of the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590. I'm just going to say he contributes. He's on every show. And he's also doing some writing as well on sportsnet.ca. So there you go. Nick Punto, a name that Mike Wilner's throwing out there. And if I got a choice of him or having to give Takashi Toratani 3 years, it's a no-brainer for me. I'll take Nick Punto. I don't really want to... lengthy commitment to a guy who's played in the Japanese League and is as old as Toratani is. I'm sorry. I don't think there's any point necessarily in doing that. You know him as the host of The Bottom Line on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. His name is Jory Mittelstadt. You can follow him on Twitter at Jory Middle. Since this is the last show we're doing, or the last show I'm doing until December 31st, figured it was a good time to get Jory on and have him break down week 17 in the NFL for us. So that's exactly what we're going to do. Jory Mittelstadt, host of The Bottom Line on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, will join the Jeff Blair Show when we return on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Trending now on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Jonathan Bernier better get his goalposts something pretty nice for Christmas. The Oilers put together another solid losing streak. And the World Juniors get set to take over the city on Boxing Day. It's all trending now on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Off the Ice with Strombo and Merrick. Brought to you by Rogers NHL Game Center Live.
So here we sit on the eve of Christmas,
right?
On the big 24.
Yeah.
And in certain parts of Canada, the 2-4 is an important number. What's Jeff's favorite 2-4 next?
Oh, that's good.
People ask me, hey, Messier, what's the next big thing in hockey? That's easy. Rogers, NHL Game Center Live. Live stream over 1,000 games so you can follow your team and catch the games that matter to you. They didn't have that when I played. And if you're a Rogers internet or wireless data customer, you get a free subscription until December 31st, 2014, to Rogers.
Jeff Blair loves to commute. Let him join you on yours. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
On demand.
On demand.
On demand.
On demand.
On demand.
Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The sad, sad news. Oh, what a Christmas.
All right, Hockey Central at noon is just around the corner, and what a show they've lined up. Darren Millard and Scott Morrison will be the host. They're going to have Mac and Kiprio's on at the same time at noon, which is apparently a deal. That's what it says. 12:05, Ken Reed is going to be on. Colby Armstrong, former NHL forward, at 12:10. Scotty Bowman, 12:15. Shannon Zabados, the Olympic gold medalist in the Canadian women's team, 12:20. John Cooper, 12:25. Tampa Bay Lightning head coach, 12:35. JVR himself, James Van Riemsdyk, is scheduled to join the boys. 12:40, Brad Treliving, Calgary Flames general manager. And this is my favorite. This is the way it's written on the sheet that I was given. 12:45, Sid Sixero. Then underneath that, if we have time, Kevin Cheveldayoff, Winnipeg Jets general manager. That's all I'm saying. If we have time. Sixero, the man's importance is just knows no limits. By the way, congratulations to our own Dan Riccio, by the way. No, we don't need the breaking news sounder for that. Dan Riccio did make it out of the elevator. He was stuck in the elevator, and he made it out of the elevator in time, so I presume he'll be doing the update. Though knowing Riccio's voice, he could just do it from the elevator, and we'd all hear him. It's like the Ben Ennis school of megaphone voice. Anyhow, glad to see that he's all right. Hey, guess what? It's week 17 of the NFL season. Well, we're doing this a little early because I'm going to be taken off, and I won't be back until December 31st. And I don't know who will be filling in during this time slot, but we figured we'd talk to our next guest right now. It's a good time. Anytime is a good time to talk to Jory Mittelstadt, but I figured it was an even better time to do it. Mr. Mittelstadt, thank you so much for joining us today.
Very kind of you to say. Best of the season to you and yours.
You too. Listeners. You too. So here I was all set for drama, and yeah. And what, 10 of 12 spots are decided. I guess we're all waiting anxiously for the NFC South champion to be crowned. But it seems as if, I was going to say we know who's in. There's still some jockeying to be done there. But I'm particularly interested, Jory, in what you think Bill Belichick is going to do this week, only because, you know, that they know where their playoff road is, or they at least have an idea of what they're going to be doing. But in the past, Bill Belichick, he's always coached week 17 like it's mattered. What do you think he's going to do here? Because his offense hasn't been playing well. I would think he has some things to work on, is what I'm trying to say, as opposed to just telling everybody to shut it down for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and the danger when you have a bye is, as they do, and home field throughout, is that if you don't play everybody in week 17, it's like you have 3 weeks off. And football players are creatures of habit and routine, and there are some that feel, you know, sometimes it's almost a detriment to have the bye because the teams that have to play wild card weekend are in that groove and there's no change to their routine and everything else. So to your point, Belichick historically in this situation has tended to play most of his guys and pretty much throughout the game to treat it like a game that matters. And based on what I heard yesterday from him at his press conference, he basically said, we're going to do things the way we've always done them. He didn't answer specifically, but those were the words. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. He said, we're going to do things the way we've always done them and what's in the best interest of our football team. So historically, as you pointed out, I think he's going to play everybody. And yeah, the offense certainly wasn't clicking on all cylinders in that win over the Jets last week. And I think they want to make sure that they go in feeling good about themselves and get some things straightened out. The Jets, for whatever reason, have historically played Brady and that Pat offense very well. And that was true this year, and it has been in the past, despite whatever the Jet record is. So I expect them to be going pretty much full out. You always worry about injuries, but it can happen at any time, any down, any play in the NFL. So I think you're gonna see them play most everybody, I would think, for at least a half and maybe the whole game.
Jory Mittelstadt is host of The Bottom Line on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's brought to you by BetTheGreek.com. You can follow Jory at Jory Middle is his Twitter handle. The Detroit Lions don't win in Wisconsin. They don't win in Green Bay. It doesn't happen. I think the last time it did, the Cold War was still on.
91.
Do you any chance at all, Jory, that that changes?
Absolutely. It could definitely change. Now, Matt Stafford is going to have to be a lot better than he was last week in Chicago, where two red zone interceptions could have cost them the game. They were already in the postseason because of Washington's win over Philly on Saturday, so there was a little bit of pressure off. But the way this defense has played and the way that we've seen at times this year Aaron Rodgers struggle against teams that put a tremendous amount of pressure on the quarterback, i.e. see what Buffalo did a couple weeks back in Buffalo when they beat Green Bay. It certainly could change, but Stafford's got to be better. The offense has got to be better, because even with that really good Detroit defense at home, Green Bay is pretty much going to get theirs. I think their lowest point total at home is 26, and that was against the Patriots in that primetime win 3-4 weeks ago. So I absolutely give Detroit a chance. The one question is, they're playing for the division and potentially a bye, which is important, but they're both in. And so you got to wonder if things maybe get away early, as we've seen Green Bay just obliterate teams in the first half, that maybe Detroit then says, you know what, if we're playing next week, let's take our foot off the gas. Let's pull a few guys, some key people. So that's something to watch out for. Because normally with a spread, you know, we always look at it that way. 7.5, the back door would appear to be open pretty much all the time when you're laying that many points in what should be a tight game to decide the division. Two teams with the same records, and Detroit beat them earlier this year. But that may not be the case if the game unfolds that way. So that's something to really watch out for as a bettor.
Yeah, and the loser gets a probably gets a trip to Dallas, I believe.
Looks that way, yes.
Yeah. Jory, thanks so much for doing this. Should be a terrific weekend. As I said, even though 10 of 12 teams, we know the identity of them, there's still some jockeying to be done, and there's some opponents you definitely want to miss. You definitely want to avoid, even if you already are in the playoffs. So thanks so much for doing this.
Always a pleasure, Jeff. It's been great. Enjoyed being on with you during the season. Well, hopefully that will continue. Again, happy holidays to you and yours. Enjoy some time off, and hopefully we'll talk to you in the new year.
You as well. Take care. That is Jory Mittelstadt. He is host of The Bottom Line, brought to you by BetTheGreek.net on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hockey Central at noon is next. They've got a jam-packed hour. That's it for me. I'll be back on December 31st. Have a great day. Have a great holiday season. Whatever you're celebrating, whoever you're celebrating it with, be safe. We'll talk to you on December 31st. Take care.